Before we get started, I want to say a big thank you to everyone who has stepped in through our Patreon site to support what Skirmish Play does, to kind of help our mission out, to help us do some unique things. That's made it possible for us to upgrade some of our equipment this year. We're really excited to take it out there. We did that over the summer, to take it out there, make some things happen this fall, some kind of unique things. And you guys with Patreon have really made that possible. We hope more folks will jump on board with us. Come on and support us. You can check it out at patreon.com/skirmishplay. Definitely want to, to have anybody who is, excited about what we're doing over here, excited about our mission, to jump in and come out and support us. So that's definitely a critical part of what we do. So thanks a lot, and enjoy the podcast. This is Bart Isley. I'm here with Ryan Yeaman for the latest edition of the Skirmish Play podcast. And we want to start off right off the top. We'd like to thank the SB podcast presenting sponsor, C&G Paving. If you want your paving or asphalt job done right the first time, you want C&G to knock it out. With 30 years of experience under owner Jeff Gray, this family-owned local business has been taking care of roads, parking lots, and driveways across Central Virginia for decades. And with a 5-star rating on Facebook, you know they're going to get it right. Give them a call at 540-456-6179 today for a free estimate. These guys have really stepped in and helped us out. We really want to say thank you. We also have had a number of people join on Patreon in the last week. I want to really say thank you to that you guys are really kind of helping make that happen. And really appreciate that effort and really appreciate that support. So thanks for stepping in there. Ryan, we're at the turn in high school football. Most teams have played half of their schedule, and I think that now we know a lot. We know who a lot of these teams are right now.
Yeah, I think the sample size is large enough, especially 2 weeks into, with the Jefferson District teams, getting to see what we've seen in those first couple weeks. With Monticello, that's a big one. We got to see this week with them against Albemarle. Louisa with two big games there, Albemarle, and then coming back with Western. So we know what they are. I think at the halfway point, you can sort of make projections. We can sort of start to think of things in like a playoff picture and how things might look going down the road. And you get sort of a little better idea of what each of these teams are. They're all sort of, things are pretty much set now. They're going to run these offenses. They're running these defenses. They'll change week to week based on what they're going up against. But everybody is who they are right now.
And I think that one team that is who they are and is real happy about who they are, the Monticello Mustangs. This very clearly not, I wouldn't say it's a surprise, because when you have Kevin Gerald coming back at quarterback, you have Austin Haversham, but we knew what the flaws were in Monticello.
The question
last year
wasn't whether or not Monticello would be better than last year. It's just how much.
Yes.
And this is leaps and bounds. I mean, going from 3-7 to 5-0, that's a big deal.
Huge. I mean, it's just, and they looked tremendous against Albemarle. There's just no getting around it.
The confidence in that first half, huh?
Yeah. I mean, to come out and put 28 on them, take advantage of some miscues by Albemarle and really make them pay. Gerald's been a good runner for a long time, but man, he just looks incredible. That was my first, look at him besides the scrimmage. And you've seen them already. So we've seen this squad, and we know, they're just a testament to that you can improve, that you can get better, that the work that you put in can get better. We got a story on how Gerald has sort of forged himself, kind of become a different guy over the last couple of years, because that's what Monticello needed. He is a guy that is just as team first as it gets. And it does seem like that the rest of that group around him has become that too. I mean, it's very clear they were fired up at halftime at Albemarle. They were really fired up about how they had played.
For both these teams, over the last 3 or 4 years, this has always been kind of a weird game. The big upset Albemarle had over that 2013 Monticello team, that was huge for them. That was sort of Albemarle's coming out party in the Jefferson District and making the playoffs for the first time in a really long time. And then Albemarle, 2 years ago, had a really good start. I think they were 6-2 at the time, and they came out and lay an egg against Monticello. So you never know what's going to happen when, because these teams, the kids all know each other. They play football growing up together. Those relationships are there. And so sometimes you get these funky outcomes. I think the same thing can be sort of said about the next game we'll talk about, Louisa Western. But with Monticello Albemarle, it's just the way that Monticello came out in that first half. And there was a lot of talk, well, who have you played so far? I mean, I think them beating Spotswood, for me, that was sort of the revelatory.
We should have known right then.
I think that Spotswood is a solid team. They good defense, a physical offense. So I think
they kind of manhandled Broadway the other night, which is not a good squad by any stretch of the imagination. But that's what a good team should do.
Yeah, and so the way Monticello's gone on the road, won that game at Spotswood. They're on the road again against Albemarle, and then they, in front of that's a big crowd over there, and they shut them up.
Yeah. I mean, you're seeing all these guys that you knew their names, I guess, but, they're playing bigger than they ever have. Garrett Porterfield, man.
Yeah.
Played his tail off. You got all these guys on the line that are just playing really hard for Monticello. They're taking care of business in their assignments, and you got to give it up. The defensive coaching staff over there, tremendous job.
And that's the big difference this year is that, Monticello's offense was unbelievably productive last year.
No question.
It's just they were getting the ball back after the other team had put up 7 on the board.
Sure.
That's not the case this year, and that's why they're putting together these runs. I mean, they're creating turnovers. They're getting opportunistic chances. And they've got a playmaker on each level. I think that helps a lot. Where you got somebody up front, you got a Tolbert, and then you've got guys in the. We know the secondary is going to be good based on the way this wide receiving core looks. But it just seems like they've got a little bit everywhere. Porterfield, and yeah, we'll see if they can keep it going. I mean, the defense is really sort of the unsung hero of this team right now.
And cool wrinkle to have Gerald back on the back end as a safety man. I mean, we've seen that before. Not the same coaching staff, we understand that. But we saw a few years ago Jaleel Mosley was put back there on the back end.
Zach Jackson at Louisa.
We saw last year late in Almar, they started using Jaquan Anderson back on the back end and Lorenz Brown. So I love when guys do that. I don't think you want to play, if you can avoid it, you don't want to play guys both ways all the time. You can really wear it out with just what the pace of a football game today demands versus in the past. But when you can do it and you throw it in and it works, man, it's a nice wrinkle. And Gerald was really good at safety.
Yeah, I mean, putting your best athlete on the defensive side of the ball, it seems like a no-brainer.
It's a no-brainer.
Just when he's the most important piece of that offense, you dig up.
I think Lloyd has said that, he said, I wrote about it in my game story that he just closes his eyes and worries. But he knows that everything changes so drastically if he's not a quarterback for them. The entire outlook of the season changes.
But it's not like they're taking him and lining him up at defensive tackle and
asking
him. So
let's not do that.
Yeah, he's playing safety. It's okay.
Hey, I tell you what though, he comes with some ill intentions when he rolls down though. Kevin Gerald is, that guy's a football player. He's not just a quarterback. He's a football player. So really fun to see. And that takes us in to Louisa versus Western as well. Another, Western has not figured it all out just yet. But, they've got some of the pieces and they still couldn't figure out a way to get it done, even though they kept it close against Louisa. This team feels just like a few plays away, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that program is interested in moral victories, but to be able to limit Louisa, that's the first team that's held them under 30 points.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a start. So defensively, you have something to build on. But Louisa has shown no weakness on defense whatsoever so far.
It's so tough.
It's really impressive. And Western gives them a different look, something they haven't really seen from previous games. I mean, it's not the same as going up against Albemarle. It's just a different look.
Sure.
And Western's given Louisa problems over the years. And, this is another one of those, these guys always beat each other when they shouldn't.
Right, yeah.
And I think Western came out and, I know Louisa left a couple points on the boards, some turnovers there in the goal line situations, and that's tough, but it's on the road. That never makes it easy. And you have it, Western 1-4 at the time. I mean, if you're Louisa, some of the kids probably just expecting to roll easy in this one, and it's just never going to be that case when you're playing these rivalry games. And these coaching staffs are putting in so much time to scheme for each other. That's the other thing. These coaching staffs for these two programs love to coach against each other.
Yeah.
So I think that always, is a good recipe for an interesting game. And that one was weird. I mean, Western gets a late score. Louisa gets a late score. That was pretty much just a two-possession ball game all the way through and a real physical struggle.
And we're going to talk about it later, but it makes the Western Monticello game, there's just a lot of – it's going to feel like a must-win for sure for the Warriors if they can try and figure out a way to get off the mat right now. I think that's kind of the key for them is just kind of get moving.
But Western and Albemarle right now. Those are the two teams that they just – they're on the schneid.
Yeah, there's not – it's kind of snake bit. Yeah. Things just really aren't going well.
But Albemarle has that safety net in the playoffs that, they can go in at 1-9.
Sure.
Worst case scenario. I mean, it's not going to be fun doing that, but
no.
They could if they want to. Western doesn't have that luxury.
Yeah, Western's got to kind of figure it out if they want to get back in the playoffs. I mean, what's great about them is that they have all these pieces that are really interesting. They have, all these receivers that are pretty interesting. Jack Ware, you have Wyatt Hall, you got all these guys. And you got Domek, who, like Gerald, is a two-way guy who is just a good football player. He's a good quarterback, and he's a good defensive back. And I think that it's hard to figure out kind of what's going on with them, but it feels like that maybe they're only a couple of plays away. And they've done this kind of weird stuff before, man.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this game in a little while, but anyway, suffice it to say, that's kind of a lookout one for both those squads. But a team getting its first win this week.
We're officially, it's over. All the teams have now won a game.
Everybody in Central Virginia has won a football game.
First five games of the season, I feel like that's not so terrible. We've seen longer runs having to wait until week 8,
certainly
week 9, and we've seen it where it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Most years we have an 0-10 team. This year we will not.
No, we won't. And Madison County goes and gets it done against Rappahannock. Elijah Lewis went bonkers in that one. Really did a nice job and got it done. And it's good. It's got to be a good feeling for Chandler Rhodes and those guys are doing things the right way. They're really building things and working on things. They just have such a young roster with so many inexperienced guys, and to see them get it done, it's great to see them get a win and kind of get in that slide.
That's the monkey off the back, and Lewis, that's a lot of confidence for him going forward. We're 14 carries, 180 yards on the ground, and then I think he had 159 passing as well. So anytime you see your quarterback playing well, you're excited. And the big thing for Madison going forward is they've got some more winnable games on their schedule too. Even though the one coming up next week with Nelson County that we'll get into, that's two programs in a very similar situation.
Mm-hmm.
So this is good for them to, especially after losing to Monroe, that was a tight game that I'm sure they wanted that one really bad. Come back, bounce back with a win, and now they can just focus on getting better each week. And I think on a lot of levels they are. I mean, they played some really tough opponents, East Rock early on. And really got their bells rung there. But they've improved each week, and that's what you want to see.
So that takes us into the awards segment. It's always a fun part of the deal. Let's lead off with, I'm going to go ahead and admit it, our favorite award, C&G Road Grader of the Week. This is the best lineman performance, most interesting performance. Let's go honorable mention first. Anytime a big man makes a play with the ball, we're excited about it. If you haven't ever seen the Peisman Trophy on Twitter that they hand out for the best big man play in college football, I highly suggest it. It's a very entertaining entire event that happens. Certainly check that out. Our guy this week, Luke Tenuta at Western Almar, got an interception against Louisa, gets the honorable mention. That's a really nice. Anytime a lineman gets the ball in his hands, that's a plus.
Yeah, but the winner this week, I think, I got to see it on Saturday, Woodbury Forest against Paul the Sixth. Paul the Sixth is a classic run-first team, and Woodbury, they put Warren Matthews in the middle. I mean, he was a big cog for them last year, and he might be even more important this year, especially against teams like this. But he was just jammed up in the middle, crawling on the ground, grabbing legs, making tackles. I think he finished with 8. He had 2 for a loss. He had a fumble recovery. Oh. And that defense, they only gave up 6 points. And, you know, a lot of that was based on sort of flags that extended a drive. And they had a botched punt that was picked up and run for like 30 yards on that drive as well. And that was their biggest play from scrimmage, was on special teams. So, yeah, you got to give Warren Matthews the award there. Woodbury is really rolling. We didn't talk about them at the beginning, but they, since that first loss, have just been pounding people. And we're going to get to see them against going at more a team on their level with collegiate, you know, prep league plays is getting rolling now, and look forward to seeing that.
There's some tough matchups in that collegiate game for them, no question about it. And we'll dig into that a little bit. But you got to love – I mean, anytime you're going to come in and try and run straight at Woodbury, it just seems like a bad idea. Over the years, I think they've proven that. I think you don't want to come in maybe with that game plan, and it's great to see that kind of keeps going even with the new coaching staff. On the skill side, skill position player on offense, to me, 2 guys really stood out. And let's start with 1 at receiver, because we've had kind of an interesting year, a little bit. I don't know if the receiving numbers are depressed, but it just feels like that kind of week in and week out, besides the Woodbury guys and Devontae Rose down at Nelson, you're getting kind of different people stepping up every couple of weeks. You know, like Porterfield catches the touchdown pass against, Almar from Monticello. But Darius Miner is starting to emerge as a guy who every week shows up for Orange County.
Yeah, and we know coming into the year just how fast this kid runs, but what does it look like on a football field?
Mm-hmm.
You get the ball to him in open space, he's going to be fine, but can he get open? How does he respond to
it? It turns out he's just a really good football player.
Yeah.
Darius Miner can play.
And he's got a quarterback that knows how to get him the ball. He's got weapons around him. That's the other thing that makes Miner interesting, is that there's so many different looks for Washington and Warren that they have to spread it out fairly evenly. And he comes up when 5 catches for 148. That's really good.
148, 2 TDs, just a really good performance. Darius Miner flat out play football. There's no question about it. We knew going back a couple of years, before his injury, we knew that he could play, but this has been pretty special. It's a really solid performance by him. The other guy that stood out, and numbers are nuts, got a whole season worth of numbers in one game, Will Weidman out at Woodbury.
Yeah, I mean, that was the talk for the coaching staff after the game, was just, I mean, how much improvement Weidman has made at the position and the leadership that he's showing, just going out there and just gaining. I mean, he's coming out there and getting the ball. He's got great receivers and DeQuise Carter and Khalid Thomas and Kyle Bilodeau, and I'm sure I'm leaving a couple out. But yeah, 500.
There's dudes everywhere.
500 and
Pettigrew.
Yeah, Pettigrew had a huge game. 533 yards, 50 on the ground, 6 touchdowns passing, 1 rushing. I mean, those are just gaudy numbers.
How is that? And some of that just seems video game-like. I mean, that's just bonkers.
And, some of them are, Jameel Wilson takes a little slip screen and goes, I think it was 54 yards. But most of them were him just reaching back and slinging it. A lot of vertical passing in this.
They attack the seams vertically so, I mean, as good as any high school team I've ever seen. They did it with Lindell last year, and they're doing it again with Weidman.
And I think that's what makes this so impressive, is that you're seeing the same numbers that we saw from this program last year with a different coaching staff, with a different quarterback. I mean, they're missing Terrell Janna. That is a really good receiver. And they're still getting the same production. That just speaks volumes about, A, the offensive line getting the job done up front, in front of them. But also just these kids coming out and picking up right where the next man left off.
No question. Defense, Garrett Porterfield was all over the place for Monticello. I don't have the tackle numbers available. There were plenty of them. He had a pick, and he had, got to be one of the toughest assignments in Central Virginia is spying Jaquan Anderson. I mean, that guy, because he is so elusive. He is always on the move, and Porterfield just locked in on him. Heck of a performance, staring that down, meeting that challenge. And again, we talked about that Monticello defense. That's the difference maker. But it's guys like Porterfield coming in and taking on tough assignments like that and coming up big. I mean, that's pretty incredible. I mean, look, Jaquan Anderson had a good night, but not nearly what he could have done with as many chances as he had because Porterfield was tracking him down.
And I think with Monticello, if it's bend but don't break and it works, you're really, really happy. I mean,
you're in great shape because
your offense, other side of the ball is going to be fine. Yeah,
it's taking care of business. So heck of a performance by Porterfield. He's our defensive player of the week, no question about it. So that takes us into next week, and we're going to talk first about the prep league, which has
the early games Friday,
two really big ones. Now, what's interesting to note is that you, Ryan, have run into some really interesting lopsided scores so far.
Yes. Yeah,
so, and you're headed down to this Fork Union game.
Yeah, I brought it up before the podcast started. The Buckingham Gutchland last week is the closest football game I've seen so far. And that was a 17-point win. So, yeah, if I show up,
you're... This is not... By the way, this is not typical.
Yeah, I've never seen a run like this.
It's an incredible run. Most of his games have been blowouts. I mean, I've seen my fair share of blowouts this year, too, but not nearly to the extent that this guy has.
52-6 on Saturday with Woodbury all the six seemed like just your standard day. Like, oh, that's not that big of a blowout. I've seen worse.
And we're not trying to intentionally keep this run going. I want to be very clear. You're getting a couple of doozies this week. Fuma St. Chris, Louisa Palatine. I mean, there's some games that should be close, that should be dogfights. So maybe the streak comes to an end this week, but a heck of a performance so far.
I mean, yeah, I kind of want to see it spring along just because it's interesting. But we'll see. Yeah, Fuma St. Chris is going to be an interesting one, particularly because Fuma played Appomattox really well. It's the defending state champion, back-to-back state champion and 2A. Really good team for them. I mean, Fuma's schedule has been so, so good up front. They are a really deceptive team, and if St. Chris gets caught sort of thinking that that's what, you know, a 1-4 team looks like, they're in for something else. Fuma defensively has been really strong, limited a Benedictine team to, I think, 14 points. They looked good against Bullis. The one game that they sort of really sticks out for them is the Goochland game, but that was during that torrential downpour. They really couldn't run their offense. So we'll see. We've seen St. Chris once before against Woodbury.
Yeah, and they're pretty good. They didn't have Jasper in that one. If they get Jasper back, they can sling it around a little bit. Certainly in the second half, they gave Woodbury a little bit of a scare, but Woodbury kind of woke back up and got back in gear. But they can sling it around on offense.
And all these Fuma St. Chris games over the last 4 and 5 years have been really close, whether mm-hmm. it's out there or in their own house. So that's going to be an interesting one to watch. I know. The prep league, it'll shape out really quickly after this game and the games next week and before, you know, Fuma and Woodbury meet up towards the end of the season. But, yeah, then you also got Woodbury Collegiate, and Woodbury has had Collegiate's number for so long now. You have to go back a really long ways for the last time that they've dropped that one. And that's Woodbury's defense having to deal with getting spread out to five receivers.
Yeah, not only that, but they got to deal with, at least based on what I saw against Western, Allende Budd, man. Robert Sims had to guard him for Western, and the guy is huge. He's like 6'3", and he's big, and he's wide, and he runs like you would expect a big, tall, lanky, like wide receiver. I mean, he's just a big, tough matchup, and they threw it to him 12 times. I mean, they will go to him if he's open. It's
Calvin Johnson treatment.
They are going to him. They will stop him right at the line and let him run. I mean, whatever it takes, they'll get the ball in that guy's hands. And that's going to be a tough matchup. But the great thing is that, you know, Woodbury over the years has schemed really well. They've got the guys. That coaching staff has figured things out. You know, probably they could do it. And the other thing, too, is that Collegiate, barring some sort of meltdowns, which is what happened to Western against them with a lot of interceptions, I think that Collegiate's probably going to have as tough a time stopping Woodbury on the other side.
Yeah, I mean, they're really sort of mirror images almost of each other right now offensively, because Woodbury's getting it done in the passing game. Even with Jameel Wilson at running back, they're using him out of the backfield. Maybe he's throwing a block, chipping some guy, and then going downfield and getting the ball or running straight screens with him. And then that receiving core is just so deep and deadly. I mean, we haven't even really seen them use Bilodeau as much as they did last year. Yeah. I think you're going to see more of that, especially in tighter games. I think Woodbury, really, since the first week, has really just sort of gotten to flex its playbook right now and figure out, okay, these plays work, these plays don't. And now they have a game here where they can really sort of put together sort of a nice piece of music, compose something. This should be a really good game, but I also wouldn't be surprised if Woodbury just puts up another 50 spot.
I mean, when you look to moving out of the prep, there's two pretty big matchups. Monticello and Western, that's always a big game. It really, again, sort of one you throw out the records on. That, you know, it's just such an intense rivalry game, and I think that that's going to be interesting. And then you flip over and Powhatan and Louisa play, and that's a big one. So the Jefferson District is going to start sorting itself out right now as well. But really a fun matchup that probably is a game that should have been happening more often over the years. Madison Nelson, I think, is an important ball game. They both get a shot at a win there. Two teams, they're kind of rebuilding, and it's definitely going to be interesting to see if Nelson can pull it off and whether Madison can kind of build some momentum from Rappahannock.
Yeah, as we've seen, particularly at the 2A level, I mean, the Jefferson hasn't had to worry about this, but as some of these district old classic rivalries have broken apart, it's an opportunity for the local schools to play each other. And so seeing Madison schedule a Fluvanna and a Nelson, that's good. All these guys can learn from each other.
Pluses. Yes. We love it. Because we love any time scrimmage play teams are going against each other. Always love it. But I think in particular, these are good matchups that should be happening.
Yeah, and I think mentioned earlier, Nelson and Madison are in such similar positions. Young, new head coaches with young teams just trying to, you know, get stronger each year in the weight room and establish the identity that they have sort of mapped out for them. So for them to be able to do it against each other, I think that's a great great opportunity for both teams. And, you know, hopefully we see a tight ball game. I mean, it's hard to do sort of transitive properties here, but I think that they're sort of fairly evenly matched. We'll find out.
That's awesome. So another good week ahead, another good week behind us, and we appreciate you listening. And we'll be back next week for the Scrimmage Play Podcast.